Good morning, church. How's everybody? Did you know the God we come to worship this morning is the same God that flings the stars in the sky, spins the earth on his finger, and he knows your name? Did you know that? He knows who you are. He loves you. Isn't that amazing that that God, this big God, loves us? Man, that's somebody to worship. Yes? Let's call on him. He'll pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift that name high. We thank you that you are the God of all creation, that you know our name, that you love us, that you bless us. Would your Holy Spirit come into this place today? Father, whatever we need, whatever we come in, if we need healing, if we need just lifting up, we need to know that you love us. Come, Holy Spirit. We lift the name of Jesus above every name. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So welcome to our live stream worshipers. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship together.
Church, we're excited to be here with you and excited just an opportunity to come together as we always do and continue to sing praises, because as Jeff said, he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our opportunity to come together and worship. And it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter highs or lows, heights or depths. It does not matter for the sake of, it never mattered, because what matters is Jesus' love for us and his ability to do all things just like he needs to. And so we thank him for that, and we praise him for that, and we're going to keep on going.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been in the same old wars, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old wars inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain,
children, if you will join Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa over here for children's time.
Good morning. Man, Jesus is a chain breaker. Amen. Amen. That's good news. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service if you have the app on your smartphone. We've been circulating opportunities for you to receive text messages. Another way we like to communicate with our church and the wireless carriers love for us to have consent to do that. And it's mandatory that we do, and we don't want to have too many people opting out of that initial message, and we would lose our opportunity to do that. So if you still want to jump on board, you can scan the QR code in the bulletin and just fill out that form. It won't take you but 45 seconds or so to do that. I want to give you an update on our elevator. You know, several Sundays ago, it was completely out of service, and we had to shuffle some ministry groups around. And it's working today. The elevator is 50 years old, and they don't make parts for this elevator anymore. And United Elevator, they've been awesome to us. They've been doing our service for 13 or 14 years. And they had salvaged some parts off an old elevator that they have been using to get ours running again. And they're out of parts, and our elevator is working. Now, if you need to take the elevator, I know our pastor has really been trying to discourage you from doing that, apparently, the last couple of weeks, but it's safe. If you need to use the elevator, please use the elevator. But as he said, take your cell phone with you, because if you're stuck, we have a church staff that every one of us know how to get you out. So please take it if you need to. So obviously we need to upgrade our elevator, and we begin to explore that with United Elevator. And we got a cost on replacing everything but the lift. They call it a jack or lift that brings the elevator up and lowers it, and the car or the cab. Everything else, we got a preliminary estimate from Fred Coffey, who's the owner, of $80,000 to replace all of that. You know, parts are scarce. He was concerned about tariff cost and whatnot. So they gave us a preliminary estimate of $80,000, and the trustees voted to go ahead and do that. Well, he dropped off his estimate last Thursday with a smile on his face and said, "I've got some good news." I said, "Well, man, every day is a good day for good news." And he handed me the estimate, and parts didn't cost as much as he anticipated, plus they're giving us a discount, so it's going to cost us $55,000 instead of $80,000. And zero would have been better, but, you know, 55 is much better than 80. And, you know, it's just God's favor. The money is already there. We wanted to spend it on something else. But it's going to take 4 months from the time they order the parts, 4 to 5 months from the time they order parts until they got it running with the new parts. So pray that that elevator will stay functioning for the next 4 months. Thinking about scripture, there was a prophet named Balaam that was out of control, and God had his donkey talk to him to restrain his madness. And it's funny because Balaam just has a conversation with his donkey like, this is normal. And so I'm thinking, if God can cause a donkey to speak, he can keep an elevator running. Amen? So seriously, we needed to get people up and down from the second floor. So a lot of people depend on that. So be praying about that. Vacation Bible School starts in 2 weeks. Our family night is Sunday night, and then we'll have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 9 to 12 time with the kiddos. I understand that there's two world-renowned Northern Hemisphere explorers that will be part of this. Is that the word you got too, Jeff? Got the email, yeah. So anyway, looking forward to Vacation Bible School. Today is Cancer Survivors Day, and Mark Jones is a cancer survivor, and he's got a few thoughts he would like to share about that, plus he would like to pray for him. Mark's better known as Joyce Collins' son, by the way. So, Mark, speak to us.
In addition to Joyce Collins' son, I'm also Grace's husband. I'm Savannah's godfather and Marilyn's grandpappy. So, you know, today is Cancer Survivors Day, and I'm a cancer survivor, and there's a number in here. If you're a cancer survivor, would you stand? There's a number of us in here. And the thing about that, being a cancer survivor, is a true miracle of God. It is, you have experienced a true miracle. And Cancer Survivor Day is a day to honor those who've survived cancer. It's also a day to help those who have cancer, those who have lost somebody to cancer. It's really a day to keep all of that in mind. While those of us who've survived, we rejoice that we've survived. There's a lot that haven't. There's a lot that are worried about it right now. And if you ever look at the cancer statistics, they're not great. On the average, United States, 40% of us are likely to get cancer. And of that 40%, they're saying 65% is likely to survive 5 years. But it gets better every year. And the fact that we've got so many survivors in here, we've also got several people that are dealing with cancer right now. We've got people who've lost family members to cancer. And that's what we'd like to pray about this morning is cancer. So if you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've done in so many people. Lord, we ask that you would continue to heal. We know that you can heal those with cancer. We know, Lord, that you can find a way out for us. We know, Lord, that you can make it disappear. We know, Lord, that you can inspire doctors. Lord, we ask whatever way you choose that you would do that for your glory so that we can glorify your name. And Lord, we ask you would be with those who have lost somebody to cancer. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort them. Lord, we ask that you would help us to comfort them. Lord, you've given us so much, and Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to be our Lord. And Lord, we praise your name, and we thank you for all of the things you've done, and we thank you for all of the things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Mark. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Say this just about every Sunday. Thank you, church, for your financial faithfulness. It allows us to repair elevators when we're not expecting to, and other do some really good ministry outside the walls of our church. The giving options are on the screen with offering boxes by the doors. I want to remind you there'll be several people available for prayer after this service. God is a God of wonders. Amen. Let's stand and worship him.
The heavens are your town.
Good morning again, church. If you are our guest this morning, we are so glad you're here. We love guests. We love you to be here with us. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit that we just sang about and to. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. Certainly don't mandate you to do it, but would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you after the service down at this end of the foyer. I have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you, get to know you. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. While I'm turning there, I wanted to, it just kind of struck me as Billy was talking about the elevator, I wanted to make sure that people knew this. If you have been giving to the capital fund drive for our building expansion, those funds are not, they're designated for that fund. I just want you to know we're not redirecting that to repair the elevator. We had money set aside for the building before we started the capital fund drive. So just wanted to reassure people that your money, that when you give a gift and designate it, it goes where you have designated it. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, but it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We need to hear from you. We ask that you would speak. You would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of my go-to, I love Cheryl and I, we have different conversations about this old movie, The Money Pit. Anybody seen The Money Pit? It's pretty hilarious. If you've ever remodeled a home, you can relate to The Money Pit. So it's got Tom Hanks and Shelley Long, I think is her name, in this movie. And they've bought this home that's going to be, it's like their dream home, but it needs a lot of renovations. And they have all sorts of trouble, And the home begins to just disintegrate before their very eyes. And I want to show a real short little clip. One of the problems that they have, and Tom, yeah, see if you've ever been in the place that Tom Hanks is in this scene. And then we'll show another, the end of the clip will show at the end of their journey. Go ahead.
Little problem in the kitchen, nothing trivial.
Well, the turkey's done.
So is the kitchen. Actually, it's a little overdone for my taste. Let's not go there again.
You don't want to tell me what happened?
No, I don't. I just want to relax in a nice lukewarm bath.
What about this?
I don't think that can hurt us anymore.
Thank you. guess this is hasta so long, huh? You know, just between us, there were a couple of times when I didn't think we'd ever be able to put this baby back up. But it turned out.
It's beautiful, Curly.
It is, really, much better than I imagined.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's very nice of you. One more job, though. Here's your key. It's the only one I've got at the present. Who wants it?
Well, I just put it on the banister here. You'll have no trouble selling this place, that's for sure. Shirt Brothers will give you a million for it tomorrow.
Great.
No, this wasn't an easy one. But the foundation was good, I'll say that. And if that's okay, then everything else can be fixed. Well, goodbye, folks. Good luck.
If the foundation is good, everything else can be fixed. Everything else can be fixed. Well, church, we have a foundation. His name is Jesus. Today's message is Jesus Christ, our foundation. The circumstances of life, not just houses, but in general, have you ever found yourself where Tom Hanks was, just like he just had, he was losing it. Anybody else ever just losing it? If the foundation is good, everything else can be fixed. So let's unpack this scripture a little bit today. What is Jesus trying to teach us? First point, works don't save you. Jesus does. You know, I believe the church, not Wiley Method, but the church, the global church, I believe that there's churches full of people that thinks works save us. I believe the statistics prove that. You ask, you do surveys and ask church-going people, how do they get to heaven? The percentage is very high. Be a good person, do good things, so on and so forth. This passage today, Jesus is saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Didn't we work at the food pantry? Didn't we pass out turkeys last year at the Turkey Tuesday? Don't we work for Houses for Healing? Haven't we passed out school supplies? Haven't we helped in the kitchen? Don't I teach Sunday school? Jesus is saying, works are important, but I need to know you. I need to know you. I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, evildoers. So if you're here this morning, maybe this is rude of me, but I'm just going to tell you, you're going to leave today without excuse. You're going to hear the gospel. Our goodness will never save us. Only the blood of Jesus saves us. Ephesians says it this way, it is by grace you have been saved. Grace. Grace means that we don't receive what we deserve. We have grace. God has grace. I have some relatives, not close relatives, but a little more distant relatives, that were raised in they were raised in a tradition, and they were in their 30s and older, and now this isn't a plug for Walk to Emmaus, but they went on a Walk to Emmaus, which talks a lot about grace, and they came on and like, they'd been in church all their life, and they were like, what? We never heard about grace. What an amazing thing. Never heard about grace. It is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So if works could save us, then our salvation is dependent upon us. Or is this on? If somehow we can measure up and be good enough to deserve God's favor to someday be with him in heaven, if we can do that through works, then we receive the credit and our salvation is in our hands. But that's not the gospel. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we're saved by his grace. By grace, through faith, we're saved. It's the gift of God, not by works. Here it is. So that no one may boast. I believe the Lord's telling us, reminding us perhaps, works don't save us. Now, works are important. I believe that works are a response to what God has done for us and how he has loved us. And I'll just use an example. My sweet mom was here this morning, and my mom and dad raised me in a way with loving me, and I want to conduct my life in a way that honors them for the love that they raised me with. It's a response to how they raised me with love. I want to show and be worthy of that. Same way with the Lord. If we really understand what the Lord did for us when he was nailed to the cross, it should have been us nailed to the cross, not him. He, while we were yet sinners, he took upon himself our punishment. And if we get that, if we understand that, then the works should flow out of that. Works don't save you. Jesus does. Secondly, faith in Jesus will see you through any circumstance. Any circumstance. The rain came, verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Do you think Jesus is talking just about physical structures? He's talking about you and I. When the storms of life come against us, if we're standing, if our life is built on the foundation of Jesus the Christ, no matter what happens to us in this life, we can get through it. Billy and I both, and I know we've got several retired pastors in the church that can attest to this, that sometimes you're asked as a pastor to do funeral services for people that you don't know, that don't have a church home, and sometimes you do that, and I've said it before, but you walk into a family to try to minister to a family that you don't know, you can tell that quick if they have Jesus. You don't have to ask them, do you guys know Jesus? Did your loved one know Jesus? You don't have to ask that. You just know it. The grief is different. We grieve as those, but not as those who have no hope. We have, I say this, I use this often, that scripture in funerals. The grief of a Christian has something attached to it called hope, and hope has a name. His name is Jesus. He is the foundation. When the storms come in life, whatever we face, and I've seen many of you in this room have faced some tremendous storms, and I've had the blessing of being here to try to be someone that came alongside you, along with the rest of this body of Christ. You know what I'm talking about. The foundation of Christ will see you through any circumstance. Matthew 16, Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, and he's saying, who do the people say that I am? And they say, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, and all these things. And Jesus asked that question, who do you say that I am? Peter answers, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on, and I believe some have misinterpreted this to think that Peter is the rock, but it was the proclamation that Peter made that's the rock. Jesus, you're the Christ. Peter was just a man, just like the rest of us, flesh and blood. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, son of Simon. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. I tell you that Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And that's where they misinterpret that. The rock is Jesus is the Christ. He's the foundation that we stand on. Faith in Jesus will see us through any circumstance. Now, each one of us probably have stories, the journey of life that we've faced. Some of us maybe more serious than others, but Jesus is the rock. Thirdly, standing on Jesus, the foundation, the rock, standing on Jesus brings him glory. When those storms come, those storms of life, when they come, and when we stand on the rock, Jesus, and we weather those storms, that brings him glory. Do you understand? It's like if a flood washed through and there were houses built on sand and they got washed away, and then you got this one house that was built on the rock. And it just, in its all its glory, it's like the storm passes and it's still there. You think the people who had built on the sand don't look at that and go, "Wow, I wish I'd have built my house on the rock." Peter, this same Peter who denied even knowing Jesus, this flawed Peter that was ultimately restored by Jesus and became a strong leader in the church, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God," and here it is, that's who we are, "so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." So we're a chosen people, this holy nation, so that we might declare his praises. People should look at us and have praise to the Father, not personal praise for us. Standing on Jesus brings him glory. I'm going to do something a little different. I asked several, and I'll probably ask some more of y'all, just to give a short testimony as to why, when we started our capital fund drive, why you believe in what we're doing is the right thing, why you're supporting this capital fund drive. And I asked Tommy Foster, who's Tommy's, you'll hear in this video in just a moment, Tommy's and his family's been in the church several decades. And Tommy created this video and asked me if he could tell a little bit more of the story of the church and his family. And I said, absolutely. And this is when I heard his video, it blessed me. And it speaks exactly to what I'm talking about. So listen to these fine words from Tommy Foster.
"Hi, church. I'm Tommy Foster, here to visit with you today about the planned expansion of our church facilities and the ongoing capital fund drive that's being implemented to assist in that process. Well, you know, it's hard to believe my wife, Sharon, and I have been blessed to be members of the church family here at Wiley Methodist for nearly 60 years. And so I kind of bring a little different perspective to the presentations regarding our capital fund drive. We've actually been blessed to worship in three different sanctuaries with Wiley Methodist Church over our tenure here. Over the 60 years, we've served in a variety of positions in the church. Most recently, Sharon has been serving as the co-leader of the Outreach Sunday School class, and she has various involvements with the children's ministry area of the church as well. I currently teach the Outreach Sunday School class and was fortunate to be able to serve on the feasibility study committee that brought this building option to the church. Our lengthy tenure here at the church kind of gives me the opportunity to maybe provide a little different perspective on the project. Imagine with me for a moment that you're getting ready to go to church on a Sunday morning, everybody's dressed up, get in the car, pull into the parking lot of the church and find that it burned to the ground earlier in the early morning hours prior to that Sunday. On that cold day, 57 years ago, the family of God at Wiley Methodist Church had a decision to make. And that decision was, do we just quit? And we had a fairly small congregation then. Do we just not rebuild? Do we assimilate with other congregations? Or do we step up and build back? Well, as a teenager, I was gratified to see a sign come up in the front of the ashes there that were remained of the old church. And on that sign, it said, "Yes," in big capital letters, "We will rebuild with God's help." And because 57 years ago, the faithful said yes, God responded and a new church facility was built on the top of the old foundation of the church that burned. And later, God blessed that step of faith with the addition of two additional classroom buildings. And then later, even a 10,000 square foot fellowship hall, gymnasium, new kitchen, and church offices were added. Outgrowing that facility, the church had the opportunity to acquire the Leggett building, our current location here today, and the one that we're seeking to expand and planning to expand to further accommodate our outreach. You know, each big step as we've gone through the process over the years has been met with challenges, but it's been met with also a myriad of blessings that have come that's drawn the congregation closer together as we work towards a common goal. And I believe, as Billy spoke in one of his presentations a few weeks ago, I have seen how God can reallocate resources, change our priorities to make sure his plan happens for the family of God here at Wiley Methodist. Allow me to bring this talk down to a more personal level to you just for a moment. Because the faithful have continued to say yes during our tenure here at Wiley Methodist, many members of the Foster and Martin family have either come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, or having already been saved, seen their faith deepen and mature as a result of the preaching, teaching, outreach, and mission programs that have historically been offered by the church and the excellent staff leadership we've had here. Well, 5 weddings, several infant dedications, baptisms, professions of faith, 3 50th wedding anniversaries, and 3 funerals later, Wiley Methodist continues to serve families such as ours. And that's just the impact on a single family in our congregation. Multiply that by the hundreds of families that have been touched by the ministry of Wiley Methodist Church. Now our church is faced with one of our biggest challenges and opportunities so far. We have said yes once again. Our church, after many years of prayer, preparation, and planning, is moving forward with the first expansion of the former Leggett facility, our current location. This will enable us to extend God's work throughout our community and beyond for generations to come. As someone once said, it takes all of us. Sharon and I pledged years ago and many times since that we are committed to remaining true to our vows of the church membership by supporting the worthy endeavor with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We're asking you to join us in this good work. Would you do that? Time is wasting, and we need to move forward. Maybe down the road, our church family will look back and rejoice that we said yes once again and took this bold step of faith back in 2025. Let's be about this great calling with excitement, with the joy of the Lord as our strength, moving forward with faithful confidence and sincerity of purpose as we grow our facilities to make room for all who choose to seek Him here at Wiley Methodist. And don't forget the matching gift that's out there, $500,000. Up to $500,000 could effectively double your gift. Also, remember those other vows that you took when we joined the church. Pray fervently for this project. Presence, show up when called upon. Service, seek a place to plug your specific gifts and talents into the process. And our witness, as Jeff always tells us, go and tell someone about it during this exciting time. God bless you, church.
You know, not only has Wiley Methodist and Jesus been a blessing to the Foster and Martin family, but the Foster and Martin family have blessed me and countless others. If the foundation is good, everything else can be fixed. Did you catch when the church burned down? They rebuilt on the foundation that was there. Did you catch that? And I believe not just a physical foundation, but the foundation that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. I don't want anybody leaving this morning that doesn't understand that they need to stand on the rock of Jesus. He will see you through anything. So when the storms of life come, and here's the thing, it's not real encouraging, but they will come. Life is not easy all the time, and they will come. Who or what do we put our faith in? I believe Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus is with these men, and he knows a storm is coming for him. Jesus knows the storm is coming. And yet he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, "This is my body, broken for you." And then knowing that the storm is coming, he blesses the cup and he says, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood." He said, "As often as you eat and drink of this meal, remember me. Remember me." So if you'll bow your heads, we don't come to this table as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people. And that begins with a confession of our sins before our holy and loving God. If you'll do that in your own heart now. Jesus, thank you for this meal. Thank you that this is a costly meal. It's a sacrificial meal that you've called us to partake. You've called us to remember that you are the rock that we stand on. Would you make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us? We pray a blessing on these elements as we partake. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. If those who are serving will come forward. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you do not have to be a member of our church to partake. If you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, you are welcome to this table. There will be two stations over here and two stations over here. You'll be given a piece of bread and dip the bread into the cup. Partake in that manner. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center. Go ahead and receive your elements and return to your seat to partake of those, and then you can discard your empty as you leave the room. Jesus loves you. He invites you. Come. when the rain comes, when the streams rise, when the winds blow and beat against the house, it will not fall because the foundation is on the rock. And if the foundation is good, everything else can be fixed. Church, go stand on the foundation of Jesus the Christ and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.